We'll call to order the April 5th meeting of the House Commerce Committee. And members, the first item of business on our agenda today is the adoption of the minutes from our previous meeting of March 30th. Okay. What we'll do is we'll wait. We're just about to a quorum. To be respectful of everyone's time, I'm going to ask Representative Hillstrom to come forward. And by the time we keep working on her bill, we will no doubt have our quorum necessary to be able to move things forward. Representative Hillstrom, welcome to the Commerce Committee. I should say the official name, the Commerce and Regulatory Reform Committee. You have House File 3257 before us today, and I will move that to get it in front of the committee, and we are going to be looking to re-refer that bill to the General Register. Representative Hillstrom, welcome. If you will go ahead and identify yourself, and then we'll proceed with your testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3257 was brought to me by the Department of Commerce. The Department of Commerce has the responsibility for investigating fraud and things of that nature, and they have been acting with the ability to conduct search warrants. And as the legislature has expanded the list of who's eligible to do search warrants, they weren't specifically named. And the court tends to interpret statutes to say, if you're not on the list, you don't have the authority. And so we just want to make sure that everybody who we want to have authority is on the list. And so with me is someone from the Department of Commerce, and I'd like him to talk about what he does and why it's important.
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. And Mr. Marburn, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, sir.
If you will identify yourself for the record and then provide your feedback and testimony to the committee.
Yes, sir. My name is Michael Marvin. I'm the Director and Chief Law Enforcement Officer for the Minnesota Department of Commerce Fraud Bureau. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank Representative Hillstrom for bringing this bill forward. House Bill File 3257 clarifies the Commerce Fraud Bureau's existing search warrant authority by inserting its name into the list of named agencies under Minnesota Statute 626.05. This bill is a technical clarification. The Fraud Bureau has existing search warrant authority, but this bill puts the Fraud Bureau into the list of law enforcement organizations in this particular section of law. The proposal does not expand or limit the Fraud Bureau's search warrant authority, but rather clarifies it. Consequently, the Commerce does not anticipate any new impact as a result of this proposal. I have contacted Dennis Flaherty, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, James Franklin, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, and Andy Skugman, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association, regarding this bill. And none of these organizations have any issues or concerns with the bill. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to the opportunity to work with the committee to bolster the work of the Fraud Bureau, and I'll stand for any questions that the committee may have for me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Marburn. Member questions at this point. As you're contemplating your questions, we do have a quorum, so I will officially move House File 3257 before the committee to be re-referred to the General Register. Member questions. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hillstrom, I apologize if you covered this earlier. But on this bill, I'm just curious, would this something be something, did this come up as an issue when the Minneapolis action, I'm trying to remember the full case, community action, that's what it was, were they not able to use their authority to investigate or be able to go in and access files at that point, or what is this, what problem is this fixing at this point?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, no, that was not their area for investigation. But as I stated, I'm sorry that you missed this, unfortunately, the Commerce Department currently has the authority, but as we have modified this section of statute, we've started listing out all the people that have authorities, and the court is interpreting anybody that's not on the list as saying they don't have the authority. They investigated $48 million in fraud last year, and so we just want to make sure that we're very clear in statute that they do, in fact, have the authority to do it. I believe it was $52 million the previous year.
Okay, great.
Representative Anderson, follow-up. All right. Other member questions? Is there anyone from the public who would like to come down and provide testimony to the committee at this time? Seeing none and hearing none and no other member questions, All those in favor, I will renew my motion to move House File 3257 to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Representative Hillstrom, you're on your way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next one that we'll take is 3252, Representative Neuberger. Welcome to the Commerce and Regulatory Reform Committee. I will move House File 3252 before the committee and to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Neuberger, welcome to the committee, and you'll state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Representative Jim Neuberger, House District 15B. Before you, we have House File 3252. This came to us from some veterans who were coming back from combat. Their professions were real estate. They came back. There's a period of time where you can put your real estate license. It's called putting it on ice, basically where it's put on hold. These individuals came back from combat and openly testified and had a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress, and it took them a lot longer to get back on their feet. One of the individuals in question lost his farm, almost lost his house because of just trying to make the adjustment financially. It was real tough. He went back to the Department of Commerce, tried to get back into real estate, and in a very long story short, was told that he was not able to because he had missed his deadlines. He had missed it not by much. I think it was less than 6 months. At that point, he was also assessed a very sizable fine. So to add insult to injury, that's what had transpired. This has also occurred in a couple of other cases. So currently what we're trying to do with 3252 is say, if you are a veteran and you come back from serving your country, if you go past the limitations of when your license can be on ice, that the Department of Commerce will allow you simply to sit down and retake the exam for real estate licensor sales and or the broker sales for free. And if you pass that test, then you can get back into your profession. You had to have been in the profession before in order to do this. The Commerce Department is good with this bill. I've been working with them. They've partnered with us and the veterans. And then the real estate industry also is good with this bill. They've also been a partner in this. It's a good veterans bill, and I would encourage your support.
Thank you, Representative Neuberger. Before we switch chairs here very quickly, Representative Smith, have you had a chance to review the minutes from our March 30th meeting?
I have, Mr. Chair.
Would you move approval today?
So moved.
Representative Smith moves approval of the March 30th meeting minutes. Any corrections? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor of the March 30th minutes for adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And Representative Neuberger, do you have a testifier today?
No, not at this time.
All right. I'm going to turn it over to Chair Sanders at this point, and he will take care of the rest of the bill at this point. And go ahead.
Is there anyone in the audience that does wish to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, is there any member discussion or questions to the bill? Seeing none, I will renew the motion that House File 3252 be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
House File 2990, Representative Swidzinski. And since you're on the committee, you can go ahead and make the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I move 2990 before the Commerce Committee, and not even positive where this one's going. The General Register.
State Government Finance.
State Government Finance. What? Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to come before you. House File 2990 simply establishes a tax time savings program, and it allocates $400,000 to it. You know, a lot of folks across the state are getting their taxes done through nonprofits and whatnot, and at that point in time, finding large amounts of cash potentially coming back to them. And this bill is moving to coordinate some of those efforts to encourage savings, to encourage some future planning, so that in times of trouble, if the brakes go out on the car, that rather than go out and get a short-term loan, maybe they'll have the dollar saved up to take care of those things themselves. And so I've got a few folks here to talk about the bill and some of the specifics. I just appreciate the opportunity to come before you. Anna?
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. If you would, please just introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Anna Odegaard, and I'm the legislative advocate for the Minnesota Asset Building Coalition. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 2990, the Tax Time Savings Bill. And thanks especially to Representative Swidzinski for championing the bill, and to Representative Davids and Representative Johnson for co-authoring the bill. The Minnesota Asset Building Coalition was formed in 2014 to advocate for policies that provide greater opportunities for middle and low-income Minnesotans to achieve financial stability and prosperity by building assets. The ability to accumulate savings not only helps families weather a financial setback, but also provides the chance to invest in a brighter future. The 132 members of the Minnesota Asset Building Coalition, which are listed on the back of a bill summary in your packets, are primarily direct service providers working throughout the state with families struggling to achieve long-term financial stability. As a coalition, we've come together to ask our legislators to join us in this work by passing policies that give hardworking Minnesotans greater opportunities for prosperity. As Representative Swidzinski said, tax time presents a powerful opportunity for savings for many working families because tax credits for lower-income workers, like the federal earned income tax credit, can provide up to 20 or 30% of some families' annual income as a tax refund right around this time of year. This is a critical time for families to be encouraged to save and have access to financial services and products that help them meet their savings goals. House File 2990 promotes savings at tax time in two ways. First, it adds $400,000 per year in funding for free tax preparation services. Many nonprofits provide free tax prep to lower-income taxpayers using trained IRS-certified volunteers to ensure that taxpayers receive the tax credits for which they're eligible without paying a large percent of their refund for tax prep service. These sites also save the state money by ensuring that tax returns are prepared accurately and filed electronically. The Taxpayer Assistance Grants Program, administered by the Minnesota Department of Revenue, provides funding for these sites, but it has been oversubscribed for several years. The existing funding for the program is $400,000 per year, and the requests for that funding last year exceeded $900,000. Many free tax prep sites rely on this funding to recruit and train volunteers and coordinate their services, and sites have reported that they have had to turn away eligible taxpayers because they're under-resourced. House File 2990 increases funding for the taxpayer assistance grants because we want free tax prep sites to be able to say yes to every eligible family that approaches them for help with their taxes. The second way House File 2990 promotes tax savings at tax time is by creating a new source of funding to enable free tax prep sites to offer financial capability services. Having an account at a bank or a credit union that is a safe place to store money and access it for financial transactions like paying bills is a basic building block of financial security. But we know that a high percentage of people using free tax prep services are unbanked. The core service the new program supports is assisting unbanked or underbanked tax clients with opening a savings, checking, or debit account and directly depositing some or all of their tax refund into the account. Funding can also support financial coaching, which can include talking through a family budget and setting savings goals. It can include certified financial counseling for people who are struggling to pay down debt, assistance with accessing a credit report and education about credit building, and even offering a matched savings program or helping a client open a retirement account. Embedding financial capability services at free tax prep sites helps lower income taxpayers meet their savings goals at tax time, which supports better financial stability throughout the year. Before we hear from our next testifiers, I do want to thank some of the bill's supporters, the Minnesota Credit Union Network, the Minnesota Bankers Association, the Minnesota Head Start Association, and the Greater Twin Cities United Way. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Odegaard. Welcome to whoever's next.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Ann Leland Clark. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks for having me. I am the Financial Capability Director at Prepare and Prosper. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House File 2990, the Tax Time Savings Bill. To start, one in three families in the United States report having no savings at all, according to recent Pew Research. The situation is even more troubling for our communities of color. Black and Latino households, for example, have seven to ten times less liquid savings than white households. Locally, in our program, what this looks like is more than 80% of the over 13,000 people we serve in our nonprofit report having less than $500 in savings. As we all know, this is not enough to cover even one setback. Tax time is a game changer for our hardworking taxpayers, because if given the opportunity to save a portion of their refund, people will save because they want to save, but may not have ever been asked to save. Our job at the tax sites is to close that gap between savings intention and action by providing the opportunity, the tools, and the encouragement to help people reach their financial goals. And tax time is the best moment to do just that. But organizations across the state need more resources to do this work. The tax time savings bill would help organizations like ours serve more low and moderate income taxpayers through free tax assistance and integrated financial services. In other words, hardworking taxpayers can continue to meet their basic needs in the short term through paying their bills and putting food on the table. But with the integrated financial services, taxpayers can think beyond tax time by growing their savings or improving their credit score. At Prepare and Prosper, we do exactly that. We train 550 volunteers every year to provide free tax assistance and financial services to more than 13,000 individuals. While the tax volunteers are focused on preparing that tax return, other volunteers have conversations with taxpayers about their financial needs and goals. Because of tax credits like the Earned Income Tax Credit and locally the Working Family Credit, taxpayers are receiving very large refunds, a money moment. The average refund at Prepare and Prosper is close to $2,500. So tax time is the best time to talk about financial goals. From these conversations our volunteers are having with taxpayers, they help them open savings accounts, purchase savings bonds, start retirement accounts, just overall savings plans, and they can also pull credit reports and refer them to deeper financial coaching and counseling. Last tax season, for example, we helped 1,000 taxpayers serve over $1.6 million of their refunds back to their own pockets and that of their communities. As you'll hear from Mohammed here, our work has been very powerful in helping give people the encouragement to build stronger financial futures. However, Prepare and Prosper is among the very few organizations in Minnesota with the resources to integrate financial services into our sites. Other organizations that we work with and support through our TA program are clamoring for these additional dollars to do the same. There's an ever-growing demand for our services at free tax sites in Minnesota, and they're primed for new and additional investments in this area. This funding would allow organizations to recruit, train, support volunteers and part-time staff at the tax sites. It would also support the purchasing of things that run a program, think laptops, printers, promotional materials. So, Chairman, members of the committee, thank you again for this opportunity to testify about how the tax time savings bill would go a long way in helping thousands of households become more financially confident and secure in Minnesota.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mohammed Barre. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in this in support of House File Number 2990, the Tax Time Saving. My experience with tax preparation began in a shoe store in Edinburgh 7 years ago. After my wife and I finished filing our taxes at the bait preparer, we walked over to a store to buy new shoes for our children. A lady must have seen us leave the bait tax preparer because she asked me if I ever heard of a free tax preparation. I told her that I wasn't looking for a new tax preparer. I had some reason to do that. However, this woman made me to pause and think about what I could do with $450 that I was paying if I filed for a free. So the next year I went to file my taxes with Prepare and Prosper. I trust them because the volunteers are IRS certified. One volunteer prepares my return while another one reviews it for accuracy. When I went to Prepare and Prosper, I thought I would only be filing my taxes, but that was not the case. As I was waiting for my tax return to be reviewed, one of the volunteers, financial advocate, asked me if she could talk to me about my financial needs and goals. In our conversations, they informed me about the financial services they have right at the tax site, and I also thought, and also told me about how saving money could help me to reach some of my financial goals. The volunteer empowered me to save portion of my tax refund because I told her that I have wanted to save some money. of the refund, but never have done it. If the volunteer never asked me about my financial goals, I did not think that I would be saving today. In fact, I'm so excited about saving that I began saving a portion of my paychecks, and I have opened a saving account for my children so they can learn the importance of having a saving account for their future. Owning a house was never an option for me because it seemed out of reach. However, with the money that I have been saving, I plan on buying a house for my family very soon. Because I was asked to save a portion of my refund at the tax site, I now have the determination to live the American dream and be a homeowner, which is a legacy that I will leave to my children. My story doesn't stop there. I decided to give back what the repair and Prosper gave me. I am now a volunteer at the tax site where I first filed my taxes for free and began saving. So I have the opportunity to work with individuals, families, to share my story with them, tell them about the rhythm of saving, and hopefully make a difference in their life, as this organization has done in my life. Chairman and members of the committee, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story, and I hope you will support this legislation that will expand the opportunity for more Minnesotans like myself to live the American dream.
Sorry, I forgot I need the microphone. Thank you, sir. Members, any questions? I don't know where you're on the list of testifiers. Is everybody? That's it. Anybody in the audience, anybody else would like to speak for or against the bill, please come down. Not seeing anybody, Representative Swidzinski will give you the final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to move along. I think this is a great opportunity to help educate folks and give opportunities for saving and the benefits that can bring to a family. Move house. There you go.
With that, Representative Swidzinski renews his motion that House File 2990 be re-referred to State Gov Finance. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. Congratulations, everybody. Thank you. And with that, we're on to Representative Sanders. Okay. Members, we had this happen once before this year. I think we have, or maybe it was a different committee, we have the wrong engrossment of the bill. So we're going to have Representative Sanders start speaking slowly. Shouldn't be a problem for him. I'm joking. He'll take it out of me next year. With that, but Representative Sanders, if you want to start explaining it, we're not going to, take any action on it until everybody has seen the right engrossment. So with that, Representative Sanders, if you want to move your bill.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move House File 3554 to the Rules Committee. And I guess we can go just briefly and talk a little bit about maybe some of the technology behind the bill. I see the bill is just coming up. But what we're looking to do in this House file is start moving and move Minnesota into what's called small cell wireless technology. It is a fascinating advance in technology and kind of a game changer when it comes to technology, especially as we talk about reaching all the different corners of the state, what we call rural or outstate Minnesota. This is a massive piece of technology that moves us in a direction that will allow deployment of, for instance, 5G technology, which is coming out later, which is 100 times faster than the current 4G. So we need this type of technology innovation to be deployed so that we can be ready and be on the cutting edge. I have a couple testifiers here today. Mr. Chair, can briefly go through maybe some of more technical aspects and give you a little bit more behind the screen of the technology, and then we can get into kind of what the solution is to move forward this session.
Representative Sanders, thank you. And I think everybody now has a copy of the first engrossment, and the A1 amendment should be coming around here. We'll, Mr. Holton, if you want to proceed, we'll deal with the A1 amendment after everybody's had a chance to look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Court Holton.
I represent Verizon Wireless Corporation. With me is Mr. Courtney Bednarz, who's going to give you more technical. He's the site person for the state of Minnesota for Verizon. I'm going to take a couple of minutes here to tell you how we got to where we are and why we need this legislation.
Mr. Holt, when you do that, do you also want to touch, I assume you're going to touch on why we're looking at the A1 amendment as well?
I haven't seen the A1 amendment.
Representative Sanders, I think, can run through that. Thank you.
The well, there was a time not long ago when I was smarter than my phone, and those days are gone. They got gadgets like this, you can wear something around your wrist. If there's an obstruction on the freeway, a hologram comes up on my windshield and tells me in 0.3 miles I should shift over to the left or something like that. Your constituents are in love with this stuff. Just walk around any crowd. The demand has hit record. We just put 4G out a little while ago and thought, this is really great. This is really fast, and it's going to be around here for a while. And now I'm here a year later telling you that we have hit capacity on our 4G. So we're coming out with 5G months from now. That will be 100 times faster than 4G. But the manufacturers of the gadgets and the people who create the sites where you can get data, and it's not all movies and stuff like that. There's medical applications, business applications. The usage of this has transformed our culture like nothing I've ever seen in my lifetime, and the demand is overwhelming. So what we're trying to do is put in these small cell technology, which today would be about the size of a suitcase, pretty soon it'll be the size of a lunch bucket, on existing structures and take some of the load off of the 4G towers. We're not talking about towers here. And in order to do that, we've got to go through the local regulatory process, which was invented for other things than this. And we need to move rapidly, and so what we're trying to get is a modernized regulatory process that can move fast, come to a decision, allow the local unit of government to do its job, handle cost and other specifications. I will turn the mic over to Mr. Bednarz now and give you a little better explanation of
this. Thank you, Mr. Holden. Mr. Holton, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Courtney Bednarz with Verizon Wireless. Thank you, Chairman, committee members. Court took most of my material, so I'll just be brief. Experts, when we talk about the critical problem we have, it's with our macro tower network. And again, the purpose of these small cells is to deploy them in areas where the capacity need is greatest to offload that tower network, thus opening up that capacity for greater user experience across the board. So we're looking at areas like downtown urban centers, arenas, events, and areas of tourism for those types of deployments. And as Court mentioned, we're able to use existing infrastructure like utility poles and light poles and attach a very small amount of equipment to generate a great amount of capacity in a really focused area where that demand is greatest. Court mentioned 5G, which will be, we believe, 100 times faster than the current network. In Minnesota, we've deployed, or really invested, hundreds of millions of dollars and billions more across the country just for 4G LTE. To roll out 5G, we're looking for support for this type of process where we can continue that investment in Minnesota and keep us at the forefront of broadband internet capacity. One of the experts that has reviewed some of the growth trend believes that by 2018, your data capacity usage from today will increase by 650%. That's the kind of mountain that we're trying to climb here, and really the urgency for getting small cells deployed as quickly as possible. So we do ask for your support with the Minnesota Small Wireless Facilities Deployment Act. Thank you, Chairman, Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Bednarz. I personally am a little uncomfortable with that much more email on my phone, but I guess that's the future. Representative Davids.
Well, to the author of the bill, I just want to know, does this bill in any way ban, eliminate, or outlaw landlines?
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Chair, no.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Excellent question, Representative Davids. And I assume no continuing education either?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the Verizon gentleman, I didn't catch your name.
Mr. Bednarz.
Courtney Bednarz.
Oh, thank you. Just a question on speeds. When you talk about 100 times faster, are you talking about outdoor wireless from a cellular tower or a cellular wireless satellite, whatever, to the device? Are you talking strictly about indoor speeds, indoor wireless within a building like this?
Mr. Bednarz.
Thank you, Chair, Committee Member. Yes, we're talking really both indoor and outdoor. Small cells do have the ability to penetrate office buildings, and depending on the height and the location, they certainly can offer indoor solutions as well. And when we're talking about the speed, it's really kind of that data capacity when you're downloading or uploading, not so much making a phone call, but when you're using that data-intensive application.
Thank you, Mr. Bednarz. Representative Johnson, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I could probably talk offline, but I was talking with a wireless consultant. I got the impression that 50 was the ceiling on speeds in outdoor wireless, but you're saying it's how fast?
Mr. Bednarz.
5G could be up to and maybe greater than 100 times faster.
So you're saying 500?
100 times faster.
Mr. Chair, 100 times the current speed?
100 times the current 4G LTE speed.
Which is, Mr. Chair, 10 megabits, so that'd be 1,000. You're talking about gigabit speed?
Gigahertz speed, yeah. Right.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just perhaps to the author, the changes that I'm seeing in the amendment on the makeup of the study task force, could you give me a little more insight into why those changes are necessary?
Representative Halverson, can we hang on to that question just for a second? We're going to get to the amendment, and Representative Scott had a question, and then Dean, and then we'll get to that if that's okay. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is to the bill's author and I guess anyone at the table. This was the bill that we heard in GovOps recently, and I know my city had some issues with this as far as right-of-ways and that sort of thing. Did you work out the differences that you had with, like, the metropolitan cities and some of those other organizations that were having trouble with the bill?
Representative Sanders, thank you, Representative Scott. Representative Sanders, maybe now would be a good time to get to the amendment, and we'll work on that, unless Representative Dean, is that okay? Do you have a question?
Pre-amendment? Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not specific to the amendment. It could be to the bill.
Well, why don't you go now, and then we'll let Representative Sanders introduce his amendment, and we'll talk about that, and maybe that'll get the questions answered. If not, we'll follow up on that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Sanders, is there anything in this bill that makes carriers have truth in what their actual speed and coverage is? Because currently, all the different carriers, they say they're the best, they say they cover everything, and we all know that that's not true.
Well, who wants to answer that one?
Well, Mr. Chair, this bill does not address any of that, but, maybe the task force will want to take up that issue as well.
Representative Dean and Representative Sanders, I think we did have something a few years ago about coverage maps and speeds and things like that. Maybe that's something the task force can add in there. Representative Dean, does that? Representative Cresha.
Just a quick thing on that. The Office of the Broadband does have the Connect America map,
and that they're specifically tasked with this. One of the things that I would offer, and Representative Dean, I get where you're going, but one of the things we have to remember is people are varying different technologies. So you may be getting these speeds available to you, but if you have an outdated wireless router, so I understand where you're going with the truth in that, but we also have to remember getting a good Connect America map would go a long way to actually giving us the truth in broadband speeds.
Representative Dean.
So to that point, so the task force could pass a ruling of some type that carriers would have to use that particular map when advertising on their coverage and their speeds.
Mr. Chair, the task force could make a recommendation to the legislature.
And with that, Representative Sanders, why don't you offer the A1 amendment? I think it's A1 amendment, and we can talk about that. I think, Mr. Eleff, did you want to make a comment on that, or is there... Okay. Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And just a very quick background on this. We did hear this bill in government operations. Part of the issue was this technology is very new. In fact, if you look at the House file number, it's a very late House file number in general. The technology is new. The need is old. And so we are trying to move as fast as we can. But with that, obviously, ran into a lot of issues, especially in the government operations world with the League of Cities and townships and local governments in general. In order to move as fast as we can and move the ball down the field at all, we transitioned out of the bill. We added Section 1 of the bill, which is the user requirements, and then we turned the rest of the bill into a task force, which will... be comprised of certain members as listed, one more that we'll deal with in this amendment, and then they will make a report to the legislature at the beginning of next session, and hopefully this committee and others will be able to take this issue up. Hopefully there will be a satisfactory need. This need is here. I mean, frankly, starting again the conversation next January is probably too late as well, but we need to get what we can and move the conversation forward as much as possible. So in government operations, we met with a lot of stakeholders. We added basically everyone in that asked to be in. And Mr. Chair, I'll move the A1. And here we have, we were contacted this week from the wireless telecommunication infrastructure industry, and they would like representation on the task force as well. This amendment still ensures there's an odd number of members, if you will. But again, this task force is making a recommendation to the legislature no later than January 15th of 2017, at which time hopefully the legislature has a product that they can move swiftly on so we can deploy this technology. I also have an oral amendment, Mr. Chair, so I don't know how you want to handle
An oral amendment well. To the amendment, I assume?
It's not to that amendment. I want to change the expiration
okay.
date.
Then I think the way to do it is to adopt the amendment and then do the oral amendment to that afterwards. But while we're on the amendment, Representative Halverson, did that answer your question?
Mr. Chair, I have a little more depth on that, if I may. Representative Sanders, it's fun being cutting edge. Aren't you going to miss it? I did want to ask, it does, I'm curious about the addition of additional appointees from the telecommunication industry. It looks like there are currently in your language that we passed out of GovOps, it was four members from wireless telecommunications service providers, and now we'd be adding another two, it looks like. For a total of six from the industry. So what is the need for that, and is there a need to balance other stakeholders in that addition?
Representative Sanders.
Sure. Well, thank you, Chair Hoppe and Representative Halverson. That group of four are the actual carriers. The two members of the wireless telecommunications infrastructure industry are actually your cell tower company, so it's completely different industries, completely different objectives.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Halverson.
I bring it up because I do want to be sure that, and I think that you've been very, had an ear to the ground on the concerns from the cities, but we've been through this in my city, and anybody who's done any governing at the local level has been through these discussions in their city. And while the resolution tends to come and be peaceful, getting to the resolution and getting through citizens' concerns are really a hard process, and we want to be sure that citizens have the ability to be heard on the local level on these particular issues. And so I want to be sure that our representation from the cities, counties, and townships are adequate, and I want to be sure that the League of Cities or others, if they want to weigh in on that, have an opportunity to let us know whenever you would like.
Thank you, Representative Halverson. Representative Scott, do you still have questions about the amendment, or did the explanation? Thank you, Representative Scott. Members, any other questions about the amendment before we vote on it? Seeing none, those in favor of the adoption of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Mm-hmm. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Sanders, you also had an oral amendment. Where does that go?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Page 3, 3.16, subdivision 7, the expiration. Mr. Chair, if you look up in subdivision 5, the report is due to the legislature and the governor by January 15 of 2017. So at that time, I would also like the task force to expire. So I'd like to delete June 30th in line 3.16 and enter January 15th.
Members, does everybody have that oral amendment? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Any comment or question on that? I think, do we even need to vote on that? Since it's I think we should probably vote on it since Mr. Reynolds says yes. It seems pretty simple. But those in favor of the adoption of that oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The oral amendment is adopted. Mr. Elef, did you have a technical comment here?
Mr. Chair, I just noticed that in subdivision 1, the term used is wireless communications service provider, and in the rest of the bill, it's telecommunications service provider. I was wondering if maybe Representative Sanders would consider making those parallel. Another thing is that we actually have statutory definitions of wireless telecommunications service provider.
Mr. Uleff, do you have a recommendation? I mean, whatever you think is going to get us not in any trouble.
It would be my recommendation to change it, Mr. Chair, but I certainly want to hear from the industry folks on that.
Okay.
What we could do is make it wireless.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Uleff. So would it be appropriate to match the language then, so 1.19 to 1.10, wireless telecommunications, is that correct? Mr. Chair, we have no problem with that. So I don't know how you want to move that if we just instruct. I don't know if that's the only place that we need to change it, is this one spot? Well, Mr. Chair, I'll move.
Can we just do an oral amendment then, and we'll vote on that? I'm learning. So why don't you state the oral amendment, Mr. Uleff, you let us know, make sure that that's right, and then we will adopt that change here before it passes out of here and goes to rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say after, it is one word. So after wireless on 1.19, we add the word. Maybe Mr. Uleff.
Mr. Fair, can
communications
I?
Is on the next line.
That?
It's one word.
Wait.
So let's just strike communications and add telecommunications.
And which line are we on, Representative Sanders?
Mr. Chair, I move an oral amendment, line 1.10. We'll strike the word communications and add the word telecommunications.
Got it.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Ela.
Can we use the word delete rather than strike?
Yes, we can.
You guys can just
Okay, so the amendment is on page 1, line 1.10, we're striking the word deleting the word communications and adding the word telecommunications. Do we need to change that anywhere else? That's the only place, so we're good. Everybody understand what we're doing? Any questions, comments? I have concerns, but I'll keep those to myself. With that, those in favor of the adoption of that oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The oral amendment is adopted. Thank you, Mr. Uleff. Thank you, Representative Sanders. So here we are to the bill as amended. Members, any other questions? Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to come down and speak for or against the bill? come on down, kick one of those guys out.
See, get rid of the land.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and start whenever it's convenient.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Laura Ziegler. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, a membership organization of over 830 cities in the state. And we understand this is a concern and why this is being brought forward to you. This is something that cities have been dealing with for a number of years as they try and balance local control as well as ever-changing state-of-the-art technology. So cities are having these conversations. In fact, several agreements have been made with carriers over the last several years on this type of technology. And so as they seek to have this balance, this conversation is very important. So we're glad that we're having this conversation with you today. We do have concerns about with the amended language, with the current imbalance of the task force. We would respectfully request that should there be two more members of the wireless community, that we could then match that from local units of government. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ziegler. Is that something you'd be willing to talk to Representative Sanders about after we're done here? What are the odds of a telecommunications problem? Representative Sanders, would you want to catch up with Ms. Ziegler after this, or is this something you want to take a couple of minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to. I'm happy again to talk.
Continuing discussions are always good.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, I mean, I don't see this as maybe a third, if you will, part of the conversation. I don't necessarily think that they will be this the group that we just amended in the infrastructure folks. I mean, those are the large cell towers.
Right.
As well, so I understand maybe where the leak's coming from, but I don't think they're also going to be as much on the carrier side of the equation as well. So instead of a, you know, maybe an entire industry against the league, I think this is probably continuing to spread things out with more diverse opinions versus, you know, maybe the carriers or the wireless community against the cities. I think more than anything, they would probably line up more with the cities who have gone through maybe more of the statutory guidelines that have that are currently in place versus maybe what we need to do to move this type of technology forward. So, again, happy to move and continue those conversations, but I don't think that adding this group is a, you know, necessarily a great help to the wireless carriers.
Representative Sanders, from what I know of it, I would tend to agree with you, but please get together after committee here and chat more about it. It's got at least one more stop, and I don't know what it's doing in the Senate, so we'll keep working on it. Is there anyone else that wants to speak for or against the bill? Any member questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, Representative Sanders will give you the final word.
I renew my motion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sanders renews his motion that House File 3554, as many times amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Those in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Sanders. The bill is on its way, and with that, we'll see you tomorrow night. Come on, I thought that'd be fun. I think we are adjourned.